Let's turn to the Word of God tonight. We're doing a series on the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. You know, there's many people for many years have believed in God, believed in Christ, believed in the cross, but yet have hardly read the Bible, hardly known anything of what the Bible says, and that ought not to be. You see, the Bible is a light shining in a dark place, and it's actually given by Christ. He says, I have given you these words that you may have life. How can you have the life of Christ if you don't have the words of Christ? If all you have is a vague knowledge without having an exact knowledge, it is not sufficient. We're going to continue on this series, reading from Genesis Chapter 4 tonight, Genesis 4, and my message is life without God, life without God. Reading from Genesis 4 and verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch was born, verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Ired, and Ired begat Mahujiel, and Mahujiel begat Methusiel, and Methusiel begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabel. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Just ask for God's blessing even this night. Lord God, life without you is not life, but oh God, I pray tonight, Lord God, in this very gathering, that you're going to reveal your son Jesus Christ, that you're going to bring life even into hearts in this room tonight. Lord God, to be without you, to be without forgiveness of sins, to be without eternal salvation, to be without the washing of the blood of the Lamb, without the reality of knowing that on the day we die, our life is right with you, Lord God, that is not life. But I thank you that you say in your word that you came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. Amen. That you so loved us that you gave your son to die on the cross that we might experience the very life of God and change in our hearts and removing our sins and opening even our minds to understand what it is your will is. Lord God, I pray tonight for your clarity, O God, that your word would come even with unction and power, speak to our hearts. Lord God, we don't want religion, we don't want tradition, we don't want the things of man. We want a real God, we want a living Christ, we want a God that can change us and answer our prayers. Oh God, will you just move in every single heart in this room, that your name might be glorified, in Jesus' name, amen. We've been dealing with this series on Genesis, just taking it chapter by chapter. This name Genesis, the word Genesis means beginning. It is the origin of all things. And we've actually seen in these beginning chapters, in chapter 1 we have the origin of the universe. In chapter 2, we have the origin of man. In chapter 3, we have the origin of sin, the origin of Satan, and the origin of self. You see the beginning of all things. Everything that ever happens in our world, we find the source of it in these early chapters of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, we actually saw that it was the beginning of sin and Satan and of self. That's where it all originated, was in Genesis chapter 3. Last Wednesday night we saw in the beginning of Genesis 4, we dealt with redemption, relationship, and religion. And we've seen how that Abel, Adam and Eve's son, he had a relationship with God. He had redemption. He had an experience of his sins being forgiven. But his brother Cain only had religion, only had, yes, believed in God, but he didn't have a relationship with God. And there was a consequence for that. But tonight I want to deal here in the last half of chapter 4. My message tonight is life without God. Let me say that again and listen to what I've just called this. Life without God. At the last half of chapter 4, we actually see the life of Cain, the family of Cain, the history of Cain, and the history of his children. And what I've summed it up is this. Life without God. You see, it's one thing to have a life with God. But Cain is a picture to us what life is like without God. Look with me at verse 16. It says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Now remember that God had created the Garden of Eden. All of the land was in Eden. God created a beautiful garden. And the name Eden actually means pleasure or delight. You see, this is what God had created for Adam and Eve and man and woman. He had actually created a beautiful garden. There was no sin there, no sickness, no disease, no murder, no anger, no bitterness, no jealousy, no divorce, no strife, no lying, no cheating, no heartbreaking, no burdens to break you. No discouragement, no oppression, no depression, none of these things. Man was given a perfect body and a perfect soul and a perfect mind. He was given a spirit that really knew God, knew the voice of God, walked with God and desired God. You see, Eden was heaven on earth. It was what God desired for man. God doesn't desire sin. God doesn't desire your heart to be broken. God doesn't desire your life to be ruled by sin. That was never God's will. It isn't God's will tonight for your life. And if that's all we have, was some vague sort of belief in God, that is not life. That is life without God. You know, I can be religious. I can say I believe in God. I can even pray unto God. And yet I do not have the life of God. That's what Jesus said. He says, "You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't know me." That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "There'll be many on that day who knock on the door, say, 'Here I am. I know you. I used to pray in your name. I used to go to church.' And on that day, you'll say, 'I have never, ever intimately had a relationship with you. Who are you?' And he'll say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" This is people who knew about Christ. This is people who prayed in his name. This is people who said, "Yes, I believe there's an afterlife, a heaven and a hell. I believe there's a God when we die." And yet Jesus says, "I do not know you." You see, here in Genesis chapter 4, we see that Cain, and listen to what it says, he went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in a land of Nod on the east of Eden. He actually left Eden. You see, man was already put out of Eden because of his sin. But here's Cain now going further. He's not only put out of Eden, he actually leaves the presence of God. You see, at the gates of Eden, there was an awareness of God. There was a voice of God. There was a knowledge of the will of God. And yet Cain made a decision. Who was Cain? He was a man who believed in God. He was a very religious man. He was a man who actually talked to God, and God talked to him. God actually talked to Cain, and Cain could hear his voice, and they communicated. And we actually read about Cain that he even brought sacrifices and said, "Lord, here you are. I have done this for you. I have worked for you. I've done many things. I believe you're there." This is who Cain was. And Cain says, "I bring all these good works," and yet God rejected it. God rejected it. God accepted Abel. Why did he accept Abel? Abel didn't bring his good works. Yeah. Abel didn't say, "Look at all that what I've done. Oh, I'm going to bring you things. Look how hard I work, and I expect you to receive me." Abel didn't say that. Do you know what Abel done? Abel came and said, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, and I've been separated from you. And the only way I can be forgiven is by the blood of a lamb. And you, a holy God, has said without the shedding of blood, no sin is going to be forgiven. Good works will not save you. The religion of Cain will not save you." You know, Cain had lots of religion, and it never changed his life. It never gave him a pure heart. It never answered any of his prayers. It couldn't do. And here's Cain. He has religion. He has belief in God. And yet it says he went out from the presence of God. Do you know, when you're religious but you do not have the life of God, that's what you're like. You go, "I intellectually believe there's something. I intellectually believe there's something out there." But you don't know him. And you don't have a relationship with him. And you don't know your sins are forgiven. That's what the Bible talks about. Cain was a very religious man. He was a man who worked hard. He was a man who wanted to be accepted of God. But he didn't obey God. He didn't do that one thing God told him to do. And it says he went out from the presence of God. That actually means that he parted from God. You see, to be in the presence of God, it actually, I love the Hebrew words because they have musical pictures. Every Hebrew word in the Old Testament, it paints a picture. And what it actually means is a stringed instrument. If you string, and I'm stringing one of the chords on the guitar, and I'm not a guitar player, I can assure you he is. But if you're stringing one of those strings, and I'm stringing one of those chords, and God is stringing the other chord, I'm in harmony. That's what it is to be together. But what it actually says is Cain parted, or he separated himself, or he no longer plucked the string. That's what the word actually means. In other words, he left God. Do you know what it means? He wasn't in line with God. He wasn't walking in obedience to God. He had a head filled with religion and a heart filled with sin. He had God's name on his lips, but really he would blaspheme God's name. He wasn't a godly man. He didn't believe God, and yet he was filled with religion. In this chapter 4, we see that Cain had a life without God. His whole life was dominated without God. You see, he left the pleasure and the delight of Eden. He turned his back on it. Do you know what separated him from Eden? His sin. But he didn't repent. He didn't find forgiveness of sin in his generation. Do you know what? He got angry in his heart. And it actually says that he departed from Eden and he went to another land called Nod. And this name Nod, what it actually means is to be in exile, to be a vagrant, or to continue wandering all of your days. So he leaves Eden, meaning pleasure, and he travels all the way to Nod. And that means you're just going to wander all of your days. You're going to keep wandering and walking without a home. Do you know what Cain was like? He was going to spend the rest of his days wandering, walking from place to place. He would never be satisfied. He would never settle. He would never be content in his heart. He would never find what he was seeking after. He would be a man who was always seeking, always longing, always desiring. But he would be a vagrant. or he would be in exile, or he was going to spend all his days searching for God, and he would never find the real God. He wouldn't find him. You see, my message is life without God. You can have religion, you can have prayers, you can go to church all you like, but if you don't have a relationship with God, and if you can't look to a time where you met with him and he changed your life, then you have a life without God. You see, God isn't satisfied in religion, and you cannot change your own self, and you cannot change your own heart. Who was this man, Cain? He was a wonder. He was a man who went from place to place. He was a man under God's curse. God's curse was actually upon him because of sin.
Yeah.
And you know what the Bible says? All of us have sinned. All of us have. All of us were born and shapen in iniquity. Every single one of us, every child in the womb, they're so perfect, so innocent, and yet they're born a sinner. You don't need to teach a child to lie, do you? Or to steal? Or to get angry? Or to say, to stomp down and throw his tool or toys down? You don't need to teach a child that. It's within their very nature. And the Bible says all of us from Adam have been fallen. We're all separated from God. But thank God there's a way back. Do you know you can know God? Your sins can be forgiven. And you can have a life filled with God. I know God is in my life tonight. I can look to a day where he forgave my sins. He changed my heart. Oh, I believed in him before that. I knew there was a God before that. But there was a day and a time where he came to me more real than any of you. And he changed me and he forgave me. And I have never been the same again. I cannot be the same. It's impossible.
Yes.
This man Cain went out from the presence of God. And this was 6,000 years ago. It's a remarkable thing. Here's a man who knows there's a real God. He knows there's a heaven and a hell. He knows that God has a desire for him. And yet he doesn't do what God says. Isn't that like you and I? Isn't that like us so often? Is that we know what God says and we're like rebels fighting against him. Oh no, I believe in God. I wouldn't fight God. Do you know in the New Testament what it says? It says if you love this world, if you love sin, if you love yourself, if you love your own thoughts and desires, then you're an enemy of God.
Yeah,
an enemy of God. If you haven't come to the cross and been changed, you're an enemy of the cross. Oh no, I have a cross in my home. Oh, I believe in the cross. I wear the cross. Yes, but has the cross changed you? Oh, I believe in the cross. But has the work of the cross changed you? You see, the apostle Paul speaks about being enemies of the cross. How do you become an enemy of the cross? You live for this world. He actually says those who love their belly, they're dominated by this life. They never think about God. God never affects how they think, how they speak, how they act, their marriages, their relationships, their jobs. Doesn't affect anything. They live their own life and say, yes, God, I believe in you. You can be an enemy of God and yet have God in your lips because your life says, I'm against you. On your lips you're saying, I believe in you. But actually by your life you're saying, I want to live my own life, but I do want you to remember me and answer my prayers, and I hope I'll be okay when I die. Hope all that. And yet my life says, I'm going to live my own life.
Yeah.
Nobody will rule over me. Nobody will tell me what to do. I tell you, you could say that to me and get up with it, but you won't say it to God.
Yeah,
you'll never say it to God. In these verses that we read, we actually see several different things that Cain and his family actually sought for, thinking that they would be satisfied. You see, Cain turned his back on God, on Eden, on the blood of the Lamb, on the on the religion of Abel. He turned his back on that and he went seeking for something else. And you know what? If you don't have God in your life, you'll always go seeking for something else. Let me show you what Cain and his children and his descendants sought for. First of all, the first thing was sin. very simply sin. Here, Cain and his children actually went seeking for sin. You see, if you don't fill yourself with God, you will be filled with sin. Oh, I'm quite a nice guy. Oh, I'm quite a nice lady. I'm pretty pleasant. Are you? According to whose thoughts you're thinking or what the Bible says. You see, how God judges and how you judge it. You could think you're very nice and religious and very acceptable and very upright. And God begins dealing with your heart and he shows you your motive and the very thoughts of your mind and the attitudes of your heart. And he reveals you actually love sin. You actually desire your sin because you will not let it go. Do you know, you can tell when someone falls in love with someone, they want to be around that person. I'll tell you, whatever you want to be around, whatever rules your life, whatever draws you, you love that thing. You love that thing. If you love God, he is going to dominate your life. You can't but help it. You're going to say, oh God, I want you to be in control of my life. But look at Cain. The first thing that dominated him was sin. We see it all through this chapter. It began with a little bit of anger. All there was in his heart. You see, he brought good works, religion, all his prayers, all his sacrifice. And God says, I don't accept that religion. And you know what? He didn't turn and say, oh God, forgive me. I want the real. Do you know what? He got angry. And many people in this land are like it. Their religion isn't good enough. Oh, their family religion that they've always had and their statues or prayer to the saints. There's not one prayer to the saints in the Bible. Not one. Not one single. There's not one prayer to Mary anywhere in the Bible. Peter never once prayed to Mary. Paul never. None of them. It's not there. You see, Cain got angry because his religion was rejected. And he said, this is my religion. And God says, I will not accept it. It's got to be the blood of a lamb. Because your sin, someone will have to pay the price of your sin. Your sin is very serious tonight. Your sin is separated between you and God. Religion can't help that. Good deeds can't help that. It's going to have to be the blood of an innocent victim. Who was it? It was Jesus, wasn't it? That's why Jesus, why did Christ die on the cross? Because when he shed his blood, it means you can come and be forgiven and all of your sin washed away. I mean in one moment of time. If you put your faith, oh, I'm going to have to work very hard for this. No, you're not. Cain worked very hard. In one moment of time, you can come and have all of your sins forgiven and your heart changed and Christ living in your life. The first thing that Cain lived for was his sin. He started to get angry and he said, my religion has been rejected. Abel's is better than mine. And that anger grew in his heart. You see, if you have anger, you only have it to God. I've seen some people angry at God. Well, they'll be angry with me as well. If someone can dare to be angry with God, I can assure you they'll be angry with me. There'll be no me living with them if they can't live with God. If a man isn't right with God, he won't be right with those around him. How can you be? But you know what? When you come into a relationship with God, your relationship with others does change. It has to. There's something about having a relationship with God affects every other relationship. But if this relationship is wrong, every other relationship will be wrong as well. And that's what Cain was like. His relationship with God was wrong. And he got angry with his brother Abel. And that anger led to him murdering his brother Abel. He actually killed him. And you know what? God says that there's a curse in your life because of this. You are going to be judged for your sin. And Cain actually cried out to God and he said, oh God, don't be angry with me. Don't judge me. It is too much for me. It is too much. This is too much. He didn't say he deserved it. He didn't say he was a sinner and he deserved for God not ever to look at him again. He said, it's too much your judgment. Just give me another opportunity. Have mercy upon me. But I want you to notice, he didn't repent. He didn't turn from his sins. He didn't look for a little lamb for the blood to be shed. He didn't do any of that. He was just angry at his sin. He was angry at the judgment. He was scared of being judged. But he didn't repent of his sin. He said, God, this is too much. And we can be like that. We can say, God, it's too much. That'll never change your life, you know. Oh, I'm so miserable, I'm going to end my life. That'll never change your life.
Yes.
Do you know the only thing? It's time to repent. It's time to repent. Why would you go through life miserable, angry, bitter, saying, oh God, why don't you answer? Why don't you repent? Why don't you actually turn from your own ways? You want God to do things, yet you carry on in your own life.
Yeah.
And see, this was Cain. His religion was rejected. He's angry. He killed his brother. See, he filled his heart with anger. And if you don't fill it with God, it's going to be filled with something. What is your heart filled with tonight? What's your thoughts filled with? The second thing here. This is a very innocent thing. See, I've just mentioned something terrible. The second thing Cain and his children filled their lives with, and this is, if you don't fill it with God, you're going to fill your life with something.
Yeah, that's right.
The second thing is family and children. There's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with having a wife. There's nothing wrong with children. There's plenty wrong with sleeping outside of marriage. Plenty wrong with going and committing adultery. There's plenty wrong with going and perverting all these things.
Yeah.
There's plenty wrong with abortion. But there's nothing wrong with marriage, nothing wrong with family, nothing wrong with children. These are God-given things. But notice here, we have seven generations of Cain. And you know what they've done? They didn't allow God in the door. Oh yes, they believed in God. Yes, they said prayers to God. But they didn't let God into their lives. And you know what they've done? They focused their entire life on relationships, on marriage, on raising children, on raising a home and building a home for themselves. That's what they've done. Look at verse 17. It says, and Cain knew his wife. That's a beautiful term for a man and a woman coming together for the first time. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. You see, Cain went and got himself a wife.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing sinful in that. But he said, I don't have God in my life. I'll have a wife in my life. And you know what? We're going to have a beautiful home. And she is going to satisfy. And this ache in my heart and this loneliness and this emptiness, this wife is going to fill it. We don't even have her name. You see, Cain actually put all his expectations in a human relationship. What a disaster. Here he is running from God. God could have solved the loneliness. God could have satisfied his heart. God would have been everything to him. And you can have God in a marriage as well. You sure can. But you know what he done? He ran from God and he said, this wife is going to be everything to me. And I'm going to focus on a relationship. And you know, many in our world do that. They just go, if I can find the right person. If I can just have a nice marriage. Or if I can have children. And if I could have a few children, I'd be the most satisfied person on the face of the earth. And I'm sure Jackie could tell you can have 17. And Auntie, you need something more than 17. There's a lot of heartbreaks there. There's a lot of troubles. You better have a God if you've got 17 children. You need God in that home. You need God to come. That will never satisfy your heart. It could break your heart. But you know what? If you have 17 children, or if you have one child's enough. I tell you, you're going to be occupied, and you'll be busy, and you'll be running after them. And your life can be so full, you don't even have time to think of God. God gets squeezed out of your life. It can happen with a marriage. Oh, you're all caught up with this person. I want to talk to this person. What about talking to God? You've got time for someone else. You've got time to speak to a girl. You've got time to go looking everywhere. You go, if I can just find someone, I'll be a different person. No, you won't.
Amen.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
If you think that a relationship is that life-changing, you're in for a big shock, because it could be a big disappointment.
Amen.
You see, Cain tried to fill his life with these things. Thirdly, is work and activity. We read in verse 20, and Adad bare Jabal, and he was a father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. Look at these descendants. They begin to be those who dwell in tents. They say, we're going to be on the move. I tell you, they kicked against it. Maybe they're travelers, I don't know. But here they are. They got themselves tents and said, we're not going to stop in any place. Nobody's going to tie us down. Nobody's going to restrict us with four walls. We won't be living in a house. I tell you, we'll have our tents. It's a sense of freedom, a sense of excitement, a sense of liberty. What a liberty and freedom in life we have. And they started to herd cattle. You see, they give themselves to the excitement, the thrill. Well, if I'm not satisfied, let's up and let's move the other side of the hill. If I don't find satisfaction in life, I'll just keep on moving. And many people are like that. Every time something happens, they up and they move again. Then they settle for a bit and then they're up and they move again. And they go, I'll go over here and be satisfied. No, you won't. You're actually running from yourself. It's you that's the problem. It's not everybody else. And there's some people, they're active and they're busy and they've got their jobs. Maybe you're at work, or maybe you're doing things, or maybe you're in a home and you've occupied yourself and you're busy and you just keep moving and God is squeezed out. You see, this is Cain's religion. The busyness of life, being occupied, always on the move, always looking for something. But notice as well, point four, in verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Do you realize some people fill their life with music? There's some people as they drive their car along. You ever seen a car beat? Boom, 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 boom. It comes down the high street. You can feel the vibration. The music is so loud in the car. I go, I'm glad I'm not in the car. It would deafen me. And I tell you, people fill their life with music. They can't exist without music. They go, I would go crazy without music. Everything from some old ancient whatever, straight through to hip hop and all the rest, never understood it. Boo, boo, boo. No rhythm, no anything to it. And I go, how do they stay in there and listen to that thing? No, this is cool. This is the cutting edge music. If they can invent something crazy enough, a whole generation of young people say, this is brilliant. This is what we're giving our life to. We'll spend our money on it. We're going to run to every concert. You see, people need to fill their life with something. And I want to tell you, most of those pop stars, singers, they're a mess. They're spaced out in drugs, on drink. Every relationship is broken. They're a disaster. Many of them commit suicide. Last year, that funny man comedian committing suicide made everyone else laugh, went and ended his own life. He wasn't happy. He was one of the great comedians of our generation. He had a smile on his face, no joy in his heart. You see, he was running, busy, always making others laugh, and he didn't have any peace in his own heart. Isn't that what people are like? But you see, Cain's descendants, they begin to invent harps, organs. They created all of this to occupy, to entertain themselves. Let the music soothe my nerves. If I can just get the CD on, if I just listen to it, I can get into another realm and I'll be okay. No, you need God. You need God. You need God. That is the only thing that satisfies. And yet Cain's descendants, they created all these things. In verse 22, we actually see that they tried invention and innovation. It says in Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naaman. Look at this Tubal-Cain. He was an instructor or an artificer in brass and iron. This is the beginning of men inventing, creating, working, using their genius. Look at these men studying to how to get brass out of the ground, how to get iron out of the ground. All of these things, these become brilliant men. They're intellectual men, they're businessmen. They were men of genius, men of intelligence. And you know what? All of that's okay. There's no problem with music. There's no problem with relationship. There's no problem with work. All of these things are good. But if that so fills your life that you don't have time to get alone with God and say, I am a sinner. I have been running from you. I have been hiding from you. I have been making you second or third or fifth or tenth. And all of these other things. Do you know who's number one in my life? God, not my wife. I love my wife with all my heart. I would die for her. But she's not number one in my life. You bunch aren't number one in my life, I can assure you. And if God is number one in my life, if I love him with all my heart, I'm going to love you as I ought to. But I tell you, if I put God second, and you first, or my wife, or someone else around me, if I put them first, say, well, God has second place, that relationship will be a disaster. Those friendships will never be right before God. You see, all of these things come. And let me just give you one last point here before we close. Also, culture and civilization. It says in verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and he called the name of that city after the name of his son, Enoch. Cain actually builds a city. This is the first city ever in world history. Before the flood, it's the first ever city. Nobody else had ever thought of a city. Limerick certainly wasn't the first city. But here is Cain saying, we'll gather the people together. We can have everybody together. We'll have great activity. We'll have great numbers, great population, great trading together. You see, men think that if they have culture, civilization, or city life, people who live in the country say, I wish I lived in the city. People who live in the city say, I wish I lived in the country. We can never be satisfied. A single person says, I wish I was married or I had a boyfriend. The married person says, God help me, I wish I could reverse it maybe a little bit. And I'm not saying that's right. But you know what? We're never satisfied. The only thing that will satisfy your heart is a relationship with God. And the forgiveness of sins. A real walk with him. And yet all of Cain's descendants, they ran from God. It's life without God. You can have civilization. You can have music. You can have family. You can have activity. You can have all of sin. You can have all the sin you want. But you know what? It's empty.
Amen.
It's empty.
Amen.
Let me finish. In this chapter, we not only see Cain's seed, but we actually see another seed. Remember how Abel, in this chapter, we saw Abel. He was a man of God who loved the Lord. He believed in blood. He believed his sin could only be forgiven by blood. He had faith in God, not his good works. He didn't say, come saying, I'm righteous. No, he said, I'm a sinner. I'm actually lost. I need to have my sins forgiven. Can I ask you tonight, has your sins been forgiven? Do you know what it is for Jesus to forgive you? That by faith you come. Paul and Peter in the New Testament, they said, by faith are we saved. By faith are we saved. Through faith in Christ, what he done on the cross. That forgives us, nothing else. No statue, no candle. But notice with me, it says in verse 25 that Adam knew his wife again and they bare a son and his name was Seth. And Seth replaced Abel. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. God has given me another child. Abel is dead. Is that the end of a godly line? No. God gave Adam and Eve another son called Seth. And in verse 26, unto Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. As Cain's seed becomes more wicked, and they're running from God, filling their lives with lots of things. There's another child born called Seth. And it said, in that generation, men begin to call on the Lord. What does that mean? To pray. Yeah. Here's Cain's seed filling their life with all this. But here's Seth and his children. And they begin to call on the Lord and say, I need you. I want you. I need your forgiveness. I need you to answer my prayers. And you know what? Every one of you is either going to follow Cain or follow Seth. Please stand with me.